Hallelujah. I was already fired up. That just triggered something else. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, are you ready for some word?
Yeah.
Excuse me. My throat cleared here. I was not sure what God wanted me to do about tonight. And as I prayed about it this afternoon, it was very clear to me. The Lord said to continue on with where I left off this morning. And I didn't get done with what we're working at. And I want to go on in it. I want to hammer it home as strong as I can to you so that you can get this area that is life-changing. Now, I know that everything in the Word of God is life-changing. You get it into your life, it'll change your life. Fill up your life with the Word of God so that when somebody pushes on you, Word comes out.
That's right.
Amen? You just get so full of the Word of God, somebody goes, boop, and you go, you know, Word coming out. And things, that not necessarily all just quoting Scripture, but things related to the Scripture, things that are supported by the Word of God. That Word just flows out of your mouth, out of your heart, it comes out of you because you're full of the Word of God. And as we get a hold of these truths, they'll change our lives. They are life-changing. I mentioned this morning that I'm not interested in coming here and warming your hearts and packing out the building. If it takes warming your hearts to pack out the building, we'd never have a packed out building. But there are people who are hungry to know the truth.
Yes.
Because the truth you know is what sets you free.
That's right.
And because of that, that's what we're believing God. We're believing that God has many people that are hungry after the Word of God. And we're going to teach and share the Word of God. People come, amen, by the end of this year, 700. Yes. 700 here. It's time of the doubling. It's the time of the doubling. Amen. And we're believing God that we are in the doubling here. Now, it wouldn't take you long to look around and figure out. We got to figure out what to do with 700. Uh-huh. Amen. Yeah. But that's going to be fun. And God's got it all ready. He's got it all prepared. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, let's see. Where do we want to start? Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. And I know where I want to go tonight, but I also know that I need to go back. Second service, I mentioned that I'd like to preach for 3 hours. I think if I could have preached for 3 hours, I could have finished what I wanted to cover. But because I only had the hour and 15 minutes, however long I took, I wasn't able to do that. And the reason I'd like to have gone on was because I laid out the groundwork. And I had all the foundation laid out for the message that we're dealing with, this truth that God has on how to reign in life. R-E-I-G-N. How to reign in life. And so as we read the Word of God and study the Word of God on this matter, God gives us much understanding. But again, the groundwork, the foundation, is a very important part of what we're doing here. And so I'm going to have to just very quickly, I'm going to go through and relay that foundation. I'm not going to look up the Scriptures. I'm going to just remind you of what they say other than our text here. And get you through that in just a matter of a few minutes so that we can go on from there into more areas of what we're dealing with. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Peter, whom do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The revelation that you have just spoken forth did not come by flesh and blood revelation, but my Father revealed it unto you. You have a revelation from the Father that I am the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Then he goes on to say, and I say unto you, verse 18, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That word Peter is Petra, which means a small rock. But then the word rock that's given here is a large rock, a huge boulder rock. And he doesn't say on Peter I'm going to build the church. He said on this rock I will build my church. Well, what is the rock? The rock is the revelation of the Christ, the Messiah. We have to have that revelation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and upon that revelation the church is to be built. We're born again. We come to Jesus Christ. We walk with God. We become believers on the revelation knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. That's not an option. Believing that is not an option. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God? Well, I'm not too sure. I've been given thought on that. And sometimes I wonder, you know, then you're not born again. You're not born again if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. That's the starting place. You must believe that he is that the Messiah, the Son of God. And upon that rock, he said, I will build my church. And then notice, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, every one of us in here have had hell try to build gates in our lives. Why do you build a gate? Why do you build a wall and then put a door on it? Why do you put a gate on a city? Because you want to keep in what you got in and keep out what you got out. Amen? That gate or that door is a protection. So the devil comes in, brings sickness into your body, and then he tries to build a gate there and lock that gate so that you can't get in, so that you can't drive out what he's doing, so that he secures what he's doing to kill and to steal and to destroy. Whether it's in your finances, in your physical body, in your family, in relationships, whatever it is, he tries to build those gates and to lock you out or to lock in what he's doing. But this says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now, what is he talking the church? Is he talking Grace Fellowship, First Baptist, First Methodist, Assemblies of God, Open Bible? No, we are the church. When Jesus talks the church, he's not talking denominations. He's not talking the buildings. He's talking the individuals that are born again in the body of Christ and in the family of God. And he's telling us here that he will build his church. That's us. He's building us. And the gates of hell, wherever the devil tries to establish strongholds, those gates cannot stand against us. They cannot prevail against us. But we have the authority and the power through Jesus Christ to break through every gate, every bar, every door, and to go in and take what belongs to us, what is ours by the word of God. The devil has taken your health. You have authority to go in and get your health back. You have authority to destroy what the devil is doing. He's taken your family. You have authority. Whatever it is that the enemy tries to take from you and then build his gates, his walls, you have the authority, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Then he says, and. Now, whenever you read an and, a for, a because, you know they weren't done. Right? Whoever's talking, you don't say and. And then you're changing the subject. He's talking about destroying the gates of hell. He's talking about going in and taking what hell has tried to steal and destroy and kill. And he says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, one of the things that is important in relaying the foundation here, just very briefly, is that we bind and loose with our mouths. And when Jesus is talking here, we don't have to start searching through the Word of God to find the keys. What are the keys? He's given us the keys of the kingdom. Let's see, what are they? Well, we can go back here. We can go there. We can go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We can go over. No, no, no. I gave this illustration this morning. If I say to somebody, I want you to run to my office and get something for me, and you'll need the keys because my office is locked, and then I go on about my business, I don't give you the keys, don't tell you where the keys are. That doesn't make sense, does it? I'll give you the keys. Well, I'll go to the office as soon as I got the keys. I don't have the keys. I can't do this, see. So I would say to you, now the office is locked. You'll have to have the keys, and they're in my jacket in the back. So you'd automatically know. I finished the statement. I told you. I give unto you the keys. Here are the keys. Go get this. And the door is locked, so get the keys and go. Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then he tells us what the keys are. They are the power that is in your mouth to bind and to loose. To loose or to set free whatever God has promised, and to bind the work of the enemy that's coming against you. So you have those keys. You have the authority and the power in your mouth to bind and to loose. Now, I mentioned this morning, I accented a little bit more in second service, but I mentioned this morning that it can happen to you sometimes that you get yourself locked in the wrong place. Like, did you hear about those thieves that robbed the bank and locked themselves in the safe? That's not a safe place for a thief to be. That's not the point of the safe. And you can end up locking in the wrong things and binding the wrong things and loosing the wrong things. See, you have the authority and the power in your mouth to bind and to loose whatever you are binding, whatever you are loosing. You can bind the wrong kind of things and loose the wrong kind of things in your life. It's up to you. You have the power to do that. So Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you'll bind on earth, heaven will stand behind that. Whatever you loose on earth, heaven will stand behind that. When I say it just seems like I'm sick all the time anymore, I've loosed sickness in my body, heaven will stand behind that. When I say I absolutely refuse to have sickness in my body, you can't come in my body, I bind that sickness in Jesus' name, I will not accept sickness in my body, heaven stands behind that. So you have the authority to lock or to unlock the doors, to lock or to unlock the gates. You have been given the keys to the kingdom of God, and the keys are in your mouth. Yes. Now we went then, here's where we're going to go real quick as I know how to go. We went then to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 15. And remember there it says that those who are the recipients of the grace and the righteousness of God, that's us, shall reign in life, R-E-I-G-N, shall reign in life through Jesus Christ. Now what does it mean to reign? That gives you the picture of a king, doesn't it? And we went over to Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, where it says in the Word of God that he has made us to be kings and priests of God. When it says that Jesus is the King of Kings, it doesn't mean that Jesus is king over Herod and over Caesar and over Saddam Hussein, etc., etc. We are the kings. He has made us kings to reign in life. And the life that you reign over is your own life. I'm glad that's true. Amen. You can't reign over my life. I can't reign over your life. I can coach you and cheer you and encourage you, but you're the one who reigns over your life. And the power of your mouth to bind or to loose is the way that you reign over your life. I mentioned this morning when Rome built that huge highway, the Appian Way, and the Caesar who made the decision to build that highway, how did he build it? How does a king reign? By his mouth. That king didn't go out and get shovels and picks and start working on a road. He said, I want a road. I want it built from here to there, and I want it built now. And hundreds and thousands of men went out and started working on that road because the guy that was reigning over that kingdom declared that he wanted the road built. You reign by your words. You reign by your mouth, and you reign in life by your words. We read Proverbs chapter 18 verse 15 and 16, 20 and 21, where he talks about, let's go back over there. I'm breaking my rule here, but that's such an important passage in line with what we're talking about. And I said several times in the message this morning, Pastor, are you trying to tell us, does this mean that we have to watch out for everything we say? And my answer to that is no, no. Open your mouth wide and destruction comes. That's up to you. Yeah. You don't have to do it. You're the one that reigns over your life. You can destroy your life or build your life. It's up to you. You can bind or loose for your advantage or for your disadvantage. It's up to you. But you are reigning over your life. And you are reigning by the words of your mouth. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, he said, whosoever shall say, he started out by saying, have the faith of God. Have faith in God is what it says there in our King James translation. The word in is not in the Greek. In the Greek is en. You look in the Greek, you'll not find en. It says, have the faith of God. Well, then Jesus goes on to tell us how the faith of God operates. You know, it's like someone says, well, how do I carry out this job? Well, you do it the right way. Well, tell me what the right way is. You go get a bucket. Well, tell me where the bucket is. What do I do after I get the bucket? Jesus didn't just say, have faith in God. He goes on to tell us how the God kind of faith operates. God reigns in heaven, and how does he do it? Does it by his word. The Bible says he upholds all things by the power of his word. God isn't sitting up there with little invisible sticks keeping the planet spinning. He told them to spin and they spin. And they are still spinning at the same speed he started them spinning at when he spun them. How does he maintain everything? He reigns by his word, and he has given you authority over your life to reign over your life by your words. Amen. In Proverbs chapter, are you there where I told you to go? Proverbs chapter 6, hold your place in 18 and go back to 6. Go down to verse number 2. Thou art snared. A snare's a trap. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. They snare you. You put yourself in a trap by what you're saying. You gotta inspect everything that's coming out of your mouth. And you have to start guarding the things out of your mouth. And you need to start speaking the things that you want to have and that you want to have happen, and leave out of your vocabulary the things that you don't want to have happen in your life. Amen. Amen. My business is just not doing well right now. I'm telling you, our business is going down and we're not getting very many sales and I don't have very many customers. Why would you want to say that? Why would you want to say that? Say, well, because it's true, Pastor. It's what's happening. The Bible lets you know that you reign over your life. You're reigning over your business. You're reigning over your finances. I want to get this across to you, beloved. When you're going through something in your life, you speak what you want to have. What you're speaking is not necessarily going to change everything today. But what you're speaking today is forming your tomorrows. And if you don't speak right today, your tomorrows are not going to be what you want them to be. And so you need to get your mouth lined up, reign in life, take charge of your life. You are the one that's in control. I mentioned it this morning. I'll mention it again tonight. I think it could bristle the hair on the back of somebody's neck. But there isn't anybody whose words are more powerful or influential in your life than your own. Not even God's. God's words are not as influential over your life as your words. So, well, I don't believe that, Pastor. That can't be true. Well, all you have to do is start looking through the Word of God. And you look through the Word of God and you see that God said to the children of Israel, I've given you that land. Go in and possess the land. What did God want? He wanted them to possess the land. What did God say? I've given you the land. What did the people say? We can't do it. We're grasshoppers. We can't do it. What did they get? They didn't get what God said. They got what they said. Had they said what God said, they'd have gotten what God said. But they were reigning over their lives. God allows every one of us to reign over our lives. And in reigning over our own lives, we're going to get what we are saying. Amen. I know I'm redoing this, but you need it again. I just have so much trouble with that pain in my back. My pain in my back is getting worse. First of all, I hope I can brainwash you with this. It's not yours. That is not your pain. You are the heal. You are the whole. Amen? What is yours is healing. What is yours is health. The devil is trying to bring onto the healed sickness and pain. So the first thing is you don't claim it as your own. And the second thing is, if you're reigning in life and you keep saying, I'll tell you what, my back hurts so bad, the king has spoken. And you're going to get what you have spoken. You're reigning over that life and you have spoken it. I used simple things this morning like, I can't sleep. I go to bed and I toss and turn and I can't go to sleep. You know my confession? My confession is, I sleep every night. He gives his beloved sleep. And I'm telling you what, when I hit that pillow, it's bye-bye world. We usually put on some sermon tape, but I don't hear much of it. What I do is the next night I fast forward a little bit. Because I heard about those first 5 minutes maybe, and so I fast forwarded about 5 minutes and started in there. And over a week's time, I can usually hear most of a sermon by doing it that way when I go to bed. But there are a lot of people that talk all the time. I toss and turn all night, can't sleep. I tell you, I just have restless nights, didn't sleep well last night. The King has spoken. Amen? My headaches, my headaches are back. You go on with all that kind of stuff. You get up in the morning and before you get out the door, a half dozen things happen wrong and you start saying, this is going to be a bad day. Why would you say that? You haven't even hardly started the day yet. And already the King has spoken, this is a bad day. And when you come home at night, you say, man, am I glad to get home. This has been a terrible day. Well, I wonder why. The King spoke in the morning and he's ruling over his own life and he's got what he said all through the day. And you've been trapped, you've been snared by the words of your own mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if I was in business, I'd talk my business all the time. I'd talk its prosperity. I'd talk about how I do the best work in town. Nobody in town does better work than I do. I sell the best product in town. Nobody sells a better product than I do. People are trying to bust down my door to get to me to buy what I got. And I've stocked up because all these things are sold. And I believe I would talk the word of God. I would talk to my books. I would tell the books how full they are of thousands of dollars. Are you hearing me? Because you're the King over your own life. And what you say and believe in your heart is what you're going to get. Amen? And if I get far enough, we're going to get a little bit on that too. But how do I say what I believe? Amen? Now, did you go back here? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 18. A man's belly, his appetite, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. I didn't go into this in first service, but there's only one fruit that comes out of your mouth, and that's your words. Your mouth produces words. And it's by the fruit of your mouth that your appetite is going to be satisfied. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his lips. Let me put it right down on the bottom shelf where you can't miss what I'm saying. With the increasing of what he is saying shall he be filled. The more you say it, the more you're going to have it. You keep saying it, you'll keep getting it. You keep talking it, you'll keep having it. If you want to change what is happening in your life, you're going to have to change what you're saying with your mouth because you are reigning over your life. You have the authority to bind and to loose. You have the keys of the kingdom of God, and your life is what you're making it out of your own mouth. Amen. Then we went over to James chapter 3, and I guess we might as well go over there. I'm doing fairly good at scooting through these. James chapter 3, and let's go to verse number 2, which is really where it starts. If I read verse 1, I have to teach it. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a complete man. Boy, I like that. Because I was reading over here in chapter 1 about how when I walk in faith, I'm perfect and entire. I'm complete, wanting for nothing. He said, if I control my mouth, I'll be complete. That's the way to be complete in your life. I believe God to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I believe God that I can be in the place in my life where everything in my life is like it should be. Physically, spiritually, in the church, in my family, in my marriage, any area of my life, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How's it going to get there? If I can control this mouth, I can be complete. I can have that perfect and entire, wanting nothing, happening in my life if I can get it to happen in my mouth. I'll change the way my life is in any area that's not right by changing it out of my mouth. I am the King over this life. I am ruling over this life. And I am ruling by my words just like you are ruling over by your words. And beloved, in case there's anybody here that has question marks going off on the accuracy of what I'm talking about, if you'll stop and look at your life, you'll find that all of your life right here tonight is what you have been saying about it all along. You don't like it, but you keep saying it. You don't like what you're saying, but you keep saying it. Why? Because you keep having it. Why do you keep having it? Because you keep saying it. The King has spoken. You want to reign in life like you're supposed to reign in life? Then you're going to reign by your words. It's what's coming out of your mouth that's going to make the course of your life. When you're speaking negative over your life, you're going to have negative happening in your life. Amen? I mean, we can just, there any area of life, we could just pick it out and talk about it. And we could show you how in that area of your life, when you keep saying it, it's what you keep having. And it doesn't make sense to keep saying it. Amen? It'll destroy you. There's absolutely no sense in continuing to say it. Verse number two, here in James 3, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a complete, a perfect man. And able also, you control your tongue, you're able also to bridle the whole body. And then we went and looked here in verse 3. We put the bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Small bit. That bit's not very big compared to the size of that horse. But when that bit's in the mouth, you can change the whole direction of that horse. Amen? You want the horse, he's going north. You want him to go south. You can change that direction with that bit. You stop the horse with the bit, turn him with the bit, start going the other direction. And then he says in verse number 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, we have ships today that are bigger than cities. Huge ships. And though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds. What is the point of that? Here is this huge ship that the wind is driving it. And the wind can say, I'm in control of that ship. Did you ever get caught in those winds that seemed like the winds were controlling your life? You didn't have anything you could get a hold of. Your finances are destroyed. Your health is in question. Your family is in question. Your marriage is in question. I mean, it's like you're this ship that the winds are driving. There isn't anything that you can control in your life. It's all being driven for you. You have no control. I'm here to tell you, you are the one that is in control of your life. God has put you in control. He's made you to be the king over your life. And you're running your life. Well, look what he says. They're driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So here's that little helm in the back, and this big ship that the wind thinks, I'm making this ship do what I want it to do. And the helm says, oh no, I'll make this ship go where I want it to go. And that little helm determines the direction of the whole ship. Now, what is the point? The point comes right from one to another. If you'll bridle your tongue and control your tongue, you'll control your whole body. You'll control your body physically. You'll control your body spiritually and emotionally. I just feel like I'm on the verge of a nervous breakdown. My nerves are shot and I can't take much more. And then you wonder why you just keep getting more in a nervous condition and all upset and all frustrated. You walking through something like that, change the way you talk. Turn that ship. Turn that horse. You have a tongue in your mouth that is going to set the course of your life, and you need to get a hold of your life and the course of your life by the words coming out of your mouth. And you need to declare, I'm going in a different direction than this. I have peace in my body, peace in my life. I have total healing over my body. I tell you what, I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And something happens and starts to trigger. And those nerves start to rise up. And the devil starts to say, you don't have control over your nerves. I told you you're ready for the nut house. I told you I'm wearing you out. I told you your nerves are in. You're ready for a total breakdown. And you just stand up and say, I have a peace of God in me that passes all understanding. I have the mind of Christ, an anointed mind. My goal is set. My direction is set. And it's set by the word of God. I have perfect peace. I have that perfect peace that passes all understanding in Jesus Christ. And what you say about your life is going to determine the direction and the course of your life, because your tongue is like the bit in the horse's mouth and like the helm of the ship that is deciding the course of your body or of your whole life. Wow. And it's word. It's word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's see. That pretty well covers where we were this morning. We're ready to start going now in tonight's sermon. Amen? Amen. Every time you go through something like that, though, you bring out more. There's just more there. And we got to see that. We got to get a hold of it. You are to reign over your life, and you're reigning over your life by the words of your mouth. You're tired of driving old junkers? Why don't you stop talking about driving old junkers? I'm serious. Can God do what needs to be done in your life? God isn't restricted. God doesn't have any restrictions in how he gets things to you. Matter of fact, God likes to do it different. That's why he don't try to figure out how he's going to do it. I shared this morning about the illustration that we heard from Keith Moore. He's talking about a pastor friend of his that there's a young lady in his church that wanted to get married, and she was very poor. And she had a lot of bills. And so he stepped up and he paid some of those bills so that she could get married without that. And paid for her wedding. She had a nice little wedding. A few months later, she came to him one day and she said, "Pastor, I have $3 million coming to me." And so she said, "It won't be long till I'll be bringing in the tithe on that $3 million. Plus, I'm going to bring in a good offering. And Pastor, I've got something that I'm setting aside for you." And so sure enough, he thought, $3 million. Where's this girl coming up with $3 million? But sure enough, a few weeks later, she comes in with a tithe off $3 million, a good size offering. And she goes to the pastor and hands him a check. Keith said he couldn't remember if it was $50,000 or $100,000. Where's it going to come from? God. He has all kinds of ways of getting it across. Plus, I mentioned in second service, it does tell us another thing. Be nice to everybody. You never know. Amen? Be nice to everybody. Hallelujah. God knows how to get a new car through to you. But you got to start working on that new car. You got to start working it on your mouth. You don't walk around saying, all we ever have is these old junkers. I'm tired of this. We need a new car. Get a new car in your spirit. Amen? Sometimes it's real hard to get a new car in your spirit. You got to work on that. It's easier for you to get in a new car than it is for you to get a new car in you. But you got to get the new car in you before you can get in the new car. You got to be able to see yourself in that new car. You got to see yourself driving down the road. What do you believe in God for? Let's say you're believing God for a Jaguar. You got to see yourself driving down the road in your Jaguar. You got to see yourself with the window rolled down and your arm on the ledge so everybody can see who it is in that Jaguar. Amen. You got to see yourself enjoying the stereo system in there, turned up loud, really cranking, you know, so that when you drive up to the stop sign, the kid with the cha-cha-cha-cha isn't out doing you. Amen. You got to see yourself in there before you're ever going to have it. And you got to start speaking it before it's ever going to come to pass. Amen. You get into that old clunker of yours, you know, and you're taking somebody that understands faith along and say, "Hey, come on, I'll run this there in my Jaguar." Your Jaguar. Amen. Come on, I'll run you there in my Jaguar. And you get in their old clunker, you know, and when you get in, I've driven with people like this in the church. I've driven, not in our church here. I've driven with people in the church like this, where when you get in and close the door, you have to take the leather shoestring and you have to strap it down so the door will stay shut. Amen. I've been in those cars. And when you get in there and you're holding the door shut, you know, and wind is coming up off the floorboard, and you say to them, "Boy, I like your Jaguar. This is a nice Jaguar." Are you hearing me? Instead of saying, "I'm sorry about the car. I got this old dilapidated car, and I'm sorry. You're going to have to strap that door shut and come on, get in. And I'll run this over there, but forgive the..." No. You say what you're believing God for. Amen? You say what you're believing God for. And you begin to reign over your life. Start to talk about wealth and riches coming into your life. Start to talk about how God blesses you. Every time I turn around, the blessings of the Lord are there. Money seems to just come to me like I'm a money magnet. And I walk down the street, money jumps on me. I just don't know. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how He's going to do it. But I walk in wealth and riches in my life. Prosperity is mine. The words of your mouth will govern your life. And when you loose money to come into your life, all of heaven will stand behind that. And heaven will say, I got to get money to them. I got to get money to them. I got to get money to them. And God will put angels down here whispering in people's ears. You got to give them some money.
Right.
Oh, you need somebody to do business with? You got to go to him. You got to go to her. Why? Because you're speaking it. And when you loose it on earth, it's loosed in heaven. When you bind it on earth, it's bound in heaven. All of heaven will stand behind what you will say. Even if what you say is wrong. Amen. You say, well, it seems to me like even more if what you say is wrong. No, it works the same either way. You keep saying it and saying it, saying it and saying it. Amen. I gave the illustration this morning, again, from Keith Moore, where he's talking about that lady. And please let me give it again, those of you that heard this morning, for those who weren't here. But he was talking about, he was on a ministry trip, and they asked him to go see this lady. I've heard this illustration, I don't know how many times, because he puts it on a lot of his sermons. But this woman was dying with stomach cancer, and she was starving to death because she couldn't eat anything. And he came into the house, and she was laying there in her bed, went in and pulled up a chair and sat down beside her. She was a Raymond graduate, so she had known the Word of God. And she said he said he almost had to put his ear to her mouth to hear her. But she said, Brother Keith, she said, I'm so weak. I'm so weak. And she said, I can't eat anything and keep it down. And so, it took her a long time to say that. And it was just in a whisper. And so he didn't go into prayer or anything. He just said, Sister, will you say this after me? I'm strong in the Lord. And so she just whispered it, and it took her quite a while to get it out. I'm strong in the Lord. And then he said, say it again. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And she said that. It took her a long time. He said, with God as my witness, within a half hour, she was sitting up in bed, talking that scripture verse out loud, so loud you could hear her across the street. And I didn't tell you the end of this in first service. I went on and forgot to tell you the end. But a couple months later, he said that he met somebody, and he was at a meeting, and they came up to him and said, weren't you over in such and such a place recently to minister? And he said, yeah. And didn't you go over and pray for such and such person? He said, yeah, I did. They said, you wouldn't believe her. She's up around doing everything and anything. She has a voracious appetite. That was what he told her. He said, when he left her, he said, now, you make me a promise. You will never again say that you are weak. Never again. And he said, you say, I have a voracious appetite, and whatever I eat, I keep down, and my body accepts it well. And he said, now, here's the kicker. If you just ate something, hit the bottom of your stomach, and threw it up, while you're wiping your mouth off, you say, like I said, I have a voracious appetite, and anything I eat stays down and does my body good. And so the person told him, they said, she's gained 20 pounds, she has a voracious appetite, and she's up and around and seeming to do everything perfectly well.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
It works. It's the Word, and it works.
Yeah.
When she took control of her life, instead of thinking that cancer had control of her life, when she took control of her life, she turned the tide and turned the direction, just like you'll do if you'll take control of your life by reigning in your kingdom with your mouth.
Amen.
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 One of the best things you can have coming out of your mouth is what the Word says. Word doesn't say that you're sick. The Word says you're healed.
That's right.
Sickness tries to come at you. Just say what the Word says. The Word says you are healed.
That's right.
The Word says you have wealth and riches in your house. Wealth and riches in my house? You ought to see my house, Pastor. I don't care what it looks like. All I care is what God said. You're reigning over your life by your words. And when your words are in line with what the Word of God says, what the Word of God says is what you'll begin to see having and happening in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here, just real quick before we go. I want you, before we go to another area. I mean, don't get ready to get dismissed here too quick. Go to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm just going to read the one verse. It's verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. We have the same spirit of faith. Well, how on earth would you recognize the spirit of faith? Well, the spirit of faith believes, and therefore it speaks. Look back up to verse 8. We're troubled on every side. Yet, what he says is, I'm not distressed. Say, well, that's a bad confession, Paul, to say you're troubled on every side. And if you're troubled, you're troubled. But it can't get you down, it can't defeat you, can't destroy you. Trouble on every side, yet I'm not distressed. You got troubles, Paul? Yeah, I got troubles all around me. I got troubles everywhere I look, but I'm not distressed. He said, we are perplexed. We don't always understand everything that's happening, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. So he says, there's all kinds of things that are happening, but it can't defeat me. It can't destroy me. It can't knock me out. It can't put me out. Why? Because he was reigning with his mouth. Paul had some challenges. You know, if you haven't read it lately, read those last few chapters of Acts and watch the life of Paul. He's arrested. Why is he arrested? He's a man of God. Doing the will of God, and he's arrested. Yes. Then they put him on a ship to ship him somewhere else, and he gets shipwrecked. Uh-huh. And then when he gets shipwrecked, he ends up on an island, and he's building a fire, and he gets snake bit. Now he's got this snake hanging on him, and he shakes the snake off in the fire, and most believers that I know, even word believers, would be standing there saying, what in the world? I was shipwrecked, I've been arrested, and now I'm snake bit. What is happening here? What's going on here? And they'd have died. Amen. Paul was reigning in his life. He was reigning by his words. He said, I don't always understand what's happening, but it doesn't affect me. I get under persecution, but I don't get in despair. It doesn't get to me. He shook it off in the fire. And the poison of that poisonous viper didn't affect his body because he was the captain over his own life. He was the king reigning over his own life, and he was reigning with his mouth. And we have that same spirit of faith. It works the same way in us. We believe it, and therefore we say it. I have it. It's done. It's the word of God. It's mine. And I believe it. I have it. Amen. Now you remember, this morning I used that illustration. I want you to understand that God gives very strong words. You know, a lot of this is recapping, isn't it? It's redoing, but I'm trying to stretch it into new areas, and I'm trying to reemphasize it. I talked about the hose to water the plants, you know, supposing those are real plants. And you got the fire, you got the hydrant, the faucet outside, and you put the hose on it. And that you connect that hose and you bring it over here. And when you turn the hose on, it releases what you cannot see. You can't see the water. The water is there. But when you turn the hose on, it releases the water, and the water comes through the hose. You're standing on the other end, and the water comes out, and you're able to water those plants. Now, when you turn on the spigot, that's turning on faith, believing it in your heart. And the hose is the confession of your mouth that brings you unto the fulfillment of what you're believing God for. See, what a lot of people make the mistake, I go to church, they preach Word of Faith where I go to church. I'm Word of Faith. Yeah, I go to Grace Fellowship. Pastor preaches faith all the time. I hear faith all the time. That doesn't make water come out of the hydrant. That doesn't make water go through the hose. You can get your garden club to all stand around and talk about how that hydrant will send out water. And if you turn that hydrant on, water would go through that hose, and sure as the world, it would water those plants. But until you actually start turning the switch of faith on in your life, and start saying it with your mouth so that it has the hose to travel through, you're not going to get the manifestation of what you're believing God for until you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, and then you're going to get the manifestation. Amen. You're over here and you turn it on and you start watering and you're trying to get manifestation here, and all of a sudden the water stops. It's not working. So you go over and you take the hose apart, wrap the hose up, throw the hose away. I tried it and it didn't work. No. You walk around the corner and you find out that your little five-year-old is over there turning the hose off, turning the spigot off. And so you turn that spigot back on and you go. I mean, you can go through all kinds of scenarios. You know that there's a time from the time you turn the water on till the time it comes out. And you're waiting there 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. It's not working. And so you loose the latch on that thing that shoots the water out, you know, and you go back and turn it off, take it apart. People are doing that all the time in Word of Faith. They start believing it in their heart, saying it with their mouth, and it's not coming out the other end yet. They're not seeing the manifestation of it yet, so they're turning off the spigot of faith or disconnecting the hose of the confession of their mouth. If you will keep faith turned on, and the confession coming out of your mouth for whatever it is that God promises you in the Word, it will manifest in your life every time, all the time. Where we blow it is we keep changing what we say. We come to church, and around church we say, praise God, we believe that we're in the year of the doubling. This year, Grace Fellowship of Lexington goes to 700. This year. And then we drive home and we say, man, where is everybody? We're down in attendance. I don't know what's happening. It seems like people are losing interest in church, not coming to church. You can't do that. Amen. They left. Everybody's leaving. You can't do that. Everybody's coming. 700 are coming. Amen. You got to say what you want, not what you see. You know, the devil will always throw a smoke screen up when you're believing God. When you're walking something out by faith, the devil will always throw up a smoke screen to make you look like the water's not coming out the other end. But you will get the manifestation on what you're supposed to get it on if you'll keep the faucet turned on and the hose in place and stay expecting the answer to come. But you have got to speak it out of your mouth and believe it in your heart. Now, I've got to go to Romans chapter 10. And many of you have heard this taught, but again, it's just important to hear it taught. We've got to get a hold of this. I mentioned this morning, I'm not pretending that what I'm giving you today is all brand new to you, but I am assuring you that it's from God. This word is from God as sure as any I've ever preached. It's from God. And it'll change your life. And that's what God's about, is changing your life today by changing the way that you're talking, the way that you're speaking. Amen? Amen? Amen. Say, you go to the Lord in prayer. Father, my car is just an old rattle trap. And I need a new car. Lord, I pray that you give me a new car. You go to the Lord the next day in prayer. Lord, my car is an old rattle trap. It's broke down. And I pray that you'll give me a new car. Well, when are you going to receive it? As long as you keep asking for it, it's a pretty good indication you haven't received it. You have to receive it in the Spirit. You have to receive it by faith and start talking about the new car you have by faith before you'll ever see it come. Oh, and let me say this one more time. I didn't say this in first service, but let me say it one more time. You're driving an old broken down Chevrolet, about 15 years of age, and you got all these things falling apart. Don't be walking around confessing your new Lexus. Well, why not, Pastor? Apparently your faith's not at that level yet, or you wouldn't be driving that old broke down car. Amen? Your faith apparently, I've never been so insulted in my life. Well, get over it. you don't come to grips with reality, you're never going to change the reality. The fact of the matter is, if you're driving an old dilapidated rundown car and that's the best you've been able to do, you maybe better start believing God for a slightly used, better car. And when you get the slightly used, good car, then start believing God for a new Chevrolet. And then start believing God for your Lexus or whatever other car you're believing God for. Are you seeing what I'm saying? We want to step from roller skates into Ferrari, and we think we don't have faith to step from roller skates onto a bicycle. Amen. Please understand what I'm saying. This is not a chastening or a condemning. This is an encouraging you. Get your faith working, and let it work for the small things. And when you start conquering small things, then let it start working for bigger things. And then bigger things. And then bigger things. And you'll see it manifesting in your life, but you got to get it manifesting in your mouth before you get it manifesting in your life. Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Now we're talking about faith. Faith. What is it? What does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Where is the word of faith? In your mouth and in your heart. Verse number 9. And notice this while we're going through this. Where is it first? In verse 9. In your mouth. And then where is it second? In your heart. Verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, where is it first? In verse 9. In your mouth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be sozo. You'll have all the blessings of being saved. Healed, prosperous, born again, free from the power of death and the curse and all. You'll have all those blessings in your life. Where is it? First, in verse 8, in your mouth. Where is it? Second, believing it in your heart. Verse 9, where is it? First, in your mouth. Where is it? Second, believing it in your heart. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, unto soteria, or unto all the blessings of our salvation. In verse number 10, where is it first? In the heart. And then where is it? In the mouth. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit has laid this out so we can see it very clearly. In verses 8 and 9, you're believing God for what you don't believe God for. Your faith isn't at that level. You first start believing that you're going to have the blessing of God. You first start believing that such and such is going to come in your life. You start believing it with your heart and saying it with your mouth. But your faith isn't at that level yet. So you're saying it with your mouth to believe it in your heart. Why? Because verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the first part of your confession is that you're confessing unto faith. And so you're saying it and believing it, and saying it and believing it. And after you've been saying it and believing it, now all of a sudden you're believing it, so you're saying it. Has it manifested yet? Almost. Why? Because now I got it in here. Right now I'm believing it in here. And what I'm saying out of my mouth, I have no question about it whatsoever. I have it. It is done. I believe it. And because I believe it so strong in my heart, I'm saying it with my mouth. Amen. Now, let's go to another area that I want to expand on. The Word of God lets us know that the victory comes in faith by the ones who put something behind their walk of faith. I brought this out this morning. Let me do it again, and then we'll take it from here. The words that are used in connection with faith in the Word of God are diligence. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The fact that we have faith and patience, and that word patience is perseverance or persistence. In other words, it's that bulldog tenacity that won't quit until I have it. I won't quit till it's manifested. And I'm going to have it. And then it's a bulldog tenacity that once you get it, hangs on to it and doesn't let the devil come and steal it away. It's a bulldog tenacity. Persistence. Diligence, persistence. James chapter 2, when it's talking about faith, he says, faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith has a work that it does. And the work that faith does, one of the major works that faith does, is the work of the mouth. Saying it with your mouth, speaking it with your mouth, is the major work that faith does. So you got action, you got diligence, you've got perseverance or persistence. All of those words are used in describing how we walk by faith in order to see things victorious and accomplished in our lives. Now, I want you to go to Psalms chapter 78. And we're going to spend a few minutes here and wrap it up here in Psalm 78. I feel like I've halfway just re-preached the sermon and put more into it than I did the last times. But because I was able to cut some of that short, I was able to expand on it a little bit. Now, get this down. Understand this. God is not understanding or tolerant of unbelief. He's not tolerant of it. I think Christianity believes that God just has an attitude, if you'd believe me, a whole lot more would happen. If you don't, that's okay. But if you'd believe me, God's intolerant. God absolutely will not accept any excuse for you not believing what he says. When the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, it made God angry because they wouldn't believe God. God was angry. In Corinthians, it says that it was, in Hebrews, it says it was the day of provocation or the day when they provoked God. Well, what provoked God? Building the golden calf? Well, I'm sure that didn't make him happy. But what provoked him was when he said something and they wouldn't believe it. And in their lives, they reigned in their lives by their words, not reigning in life by his word.
Right.
And it provoked God. He was irritated with them.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Are you there in chapter 78 of Psalms? Let's go to verse number 7. Children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now, the battle that it's talking about was perhaps the one recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 2 concerning the children of Ephraim. Now, we started there, not because we're going to talk about that, but because this is where this thought starts. They kept not the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law. They didn't believe what God said. They forgot his works and wonders that he had showed them. Now, what he's starting to do here is he's doing a comparison what the Ephraimites did when they wouldn't believe God in their battle. He's doing a comparison between that and the children of Israel when they are in the wilderness. Here they are out there in the wilderness, and they are not believing God, and they're not believing in his miracles. And so God is using this as a comparison. They kept not the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders, which he had showed them. Remember the plagues that he sent on Egypt? And he protected them, the land of Goshen. Open up the Red Sea. Rained down manna out of heaven. I mean, brought water out of a rock. And they forgot all that. God said, here's what I'm going to do now. And they forgot that he had already done all these other things he'd already done, which certainly qualified him to do what he said he's going to do. They forgot all his works. Forgot all his wonders. They forgot the miracles that God had done. And verse number 12, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Every day there's a cloud there. Every night there was a fire there that went in front of them and led them. What more do you need? I mean, 10 plagues on Egypt, open up the Red Sea, water out of a rock, manna down from heaven, cloud every day, fire every night, leading them, never leaves them. Miracles of God, every time they turn around, but they forgot all about that. Verse number 15, he clave the rocks in the wilderness, split them, and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. Remember when they said, oh, we don't like this. We don't like this manna. We're tired of this manna. We don't like this manna. And they complained about the food God had brought them. This chapter calls it angel's food. Well, that lets you know one thing you're going to eat in heaven. God has special food in heaven. He called this angel food. And they fed on that angel food. I did a thing one time. I was preaching on it, and I found the statistics someplace that somebody figured up how much food it would take to feed 2.5 million people. And they figured out how many train car loads every day God had to pour out of heaven. And I'm telling you, it was tons of food. And every morning, miraculously, the heavens opened up and poured out rain. And they got tired of it. They started complaining. It's manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. I mean, they were tired of manna. And they started complaining about the manna, about God's provision. Tired of it, complaining. And they're provoking God. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yet they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Duh. What hasn't he done? God can do anything to supply anything. But because they came against God and because they had the attitude that they had, God said, all right, it's enough. Now, I've heard of men going quail hunting. But I've never heard of quail going man hunting. Until right here. And the quail went manhunting. And the Bible says the quail started falling in, or flying in, and then they fell dead. They flew into where the Israelites was, where they fell dead, right there. God showed them I can do it. And they gathered up quail, and they had quail spread all out, and they're cleaning quail and cooking quail and eating quail. And apparently not all of them, according to the book of Numbers, not all of them went after the quail. Some of them apparently were satisfied with what God was bringing them, but those, they died. They got sick on the quail, and they died. It wasn't what God wanted for them. They were complaining against everything God did. What was coming out of their mouth was murmuring and complaining. They were speaking negative about all the blessings of God. They were forgetting what God had done at every point, how God had supplied. And instead of saying, we can do what God says we can do, we can have what God says we can have, we can go in and possess the land, we can take the land, they said, we're unsatisfied. We don't like it out here. We don't like the manna. We want some meat like we had back in Egypt. We want fish and garlic and onions and leeks and cucumbers. They were lusting after those things that they had back there. Amen? And God got provoked. God got angry. God isn't tolerant of lack of faith. When you're not believing God, God doesn't count any reason that you have for not believing him as an adequate reason. He gave his promises. His promises are yea and amen. He said, if you'll stand believing and you won't quit, but you'll continue to stand, having done all, stand. Problem is, there are many standing that haven't done all. They haven't believed it with their heart. They're not confessing it with their mouth. They're just standing. Those kind of people are standing in the way. Amen? The ones that have done all, they're believing it in their heart, confessing it with their mouth, reigning over their lives, and standing, those are the ones who are going to see the victories come into their lives. Amen. And they'll change the direction and the course of their lives. Yes. Amen. I was mentioning this morning, I have several little quips that to me are major. One of them is, your life is what you make it. You reign over your own life. How do you make it what it is? By your mouth. Uh-huh. You're making your life what it is by your mouth. Amen. Another one that I say often that I mentioned this morning is this. A lie may be a lie, But when you believe it, you'll live like the lie is the truth. And you cannot fall into lies and start believing lies and expect to walk in victory in your life. When you walk around all the time talking about how this person doesn't like me and that person doesn't like me and nobody really likes me, it's a lie, but you're believing it's the truth. Why don't you change that and just say everybody likes me? They just can't help themselves. I'm just a lovable kind of guy. Just lovable. Amen. Why don't you change it? You want to change the course? Start changing the way you talk. Those kind of people are the people that run before you can get to them. You start hugging necks after church, they're long gone because nobody likes them. You start changing your attitude, changing what you say, and you start talking about, hey, everybody loves me. Praise God, the Spirit of God is in me, and that Spirit of God makes me a lovable person. Everybody likes me. Everybody loves me. And everybody wants me to come and talk to them, so I guess I better do it. Amen. Better go hug some necks and do some loving on people because they want me to come and love on them. And you'll find people will look forward to you coming over because it'll change the course of your life when you change what you're saying and what you're believing. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, let's read on a little bit here. I'm ready to wrap this up, but I want you to see how they provoke God. Verse 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? God can do anything. And if he hadn't done enough to them to show them yet that he could do anything, behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for the people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was angry. He heard this and was angry. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, against the fleshly people of Israel, Jacob. And anger also came up against Israel because they believed not God and trusted not in his salvation. God is not tolerant of unbelief. People will say, well, I know God could heal me if he wanted to. He wants to. He does want to. But if you don't believe him and keep the switch of faith turned on and keep your mouth saying what God says, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what it looks like, God can't get it across to you because God will operate by his laws, not by yours. Your laws are that if you act real wimpy, God's supposed to jump in and help you. God's law is if you believe it and say it, you'll have it. Amen. Amen. We want to walk around saying, nothing ever works out for me. I've been trying that faith stuff and it doesn't work. I've been believing God and it doesn't work in my life. Maybe there's something you're missing. Because God hasn't changed and God doesn't change. When we're believing God for something and we see that it doesn't seem to be having an effect, we don't go away saying, well, God's word doesn't work. We go wrong away saying, what are we doing that we need to change? Where is it that we're missing this? What is it we're doing? Is it in our saying? Is it in our believing? How is it? Is it in our action? Where is it? What is it that we need to change? Because God doesn't change and he is always faithful. You are reigning in life and you're reigning over your life. And you're reigning in life by your words. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope this changes your life today. I hope that you go out here talking right and working at your talking. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.